feels like it was just yesterday that I was a bookseller at Exclusive Books in Cape Town, and I couldn't keep copies of Spud, the original version, on the shelves. And that was 20 years ago, which is quite hard to believe. Thanks for joining us, John van der Eyde.
Well, it's wonderful for us to have a reunion.
Absolutely.
As well.
So we're back to talk about Spud, the reunion. It's the fifth book in the Spud series,
yes.
And it's been quite a break since you last visited this character. What was it like to go back?
It was a great thrill. I was a little nervous because, like, what was Spud going to feel like that first day when I got into the chair and I started to write him? I was nervous because there were two things that could go wrong. Either he could sound so different that he didn't sound like Spud anymore,
yeah.
Or he could sound exactly like he was, which would also be a problem because he's grown up, right?
Yeah.
So there was this challenge of how to find the grown-up Spud's voice without losing that, oh, that Spud, you know, just the way his turn of phrase and all the rest. So, look, that was the battle. I worked on this book for 17 months, and it was a beautiful 17 months. At times hard, at times a real challenge where I had to really apply my mind to solving some issues and what have you. But ultimately, I'm so thrilled with how it's come out.
I've always been a little bit confused between the lines between John Milton, the Spud character, and John van der Eyde. And I, incidentally, I had a big milestone high school reunion this year. And I was fascinated by how reunions can kind of take you back and prompt you to, you almost become that person that you were 10, 20, 30 years ago. Was there any of that as you were like digging deep into your own memories to kind of create this character?
I think you've nailed that. Yeah. It's a great question. And I think on both those fronts, first of all, going back, this idea that you're going back to see other people, but you also want to see how they've changed. And that's almost part of the basic thing. And then for them to see how you've changed. But then that creates that awareness thing of like, I'm going to be looked at. I'm going to be measured against others. How have I done? You know, if you, like in Spud's case, he's going to his 10-year reunion. He's 28. And he fears that he's fallen behind everybody else. I mean, he was a working class boy, so he didn't have money like the rest had. So he's probably had a, you know, he doesn't have the same opportunities they have, but I think he feels the fact that he's chosen a creative life and his creative career, theatrical career, is not going that well, he's slightly ashamed. So what we have are men fronting, right, at the reunion. Everybody's trying to sell something, but then ultimately reveal something else. And I think this was the thrill for this book, that I didn't have this before. I didn't have an older who could look between the cracks and see the fronts and expose the fronts. And I think it gave me so much more to work with. And that's why it's my favorite of the book so far.
You know, I was quite nervous picking it up because I think I love the first four installments of the series, and it's been so long. And there's another British teenage diarist, a fictional character who tried to come back as an adult. And I didn't enjoy those as much. But you managed to kind of capture, I think, a lot of the reasons we love Spud, the insecurity, the growing pains, and update it. And I think that's probably why it's still relatable. Was there a lot of pressure? Because people love Spud. They love this character. Was there a lot of pressure during the process?
There was pressure. Pressure from time, and then pressure that I put on myself that I didn't want to not even drop the ball. I had to take it to another level. It was almost, I almost felt if I just tried to write another Spud novel like I had, I would have been letting people down. Like, it had to go to another level. And the dream is, of course, to almost reset another series that follows this. Let's see if that happens. But it'd be wonderful to find out what happens to Spud next. Does he, does his career come right? And then how does that impact? Does he see the Crazy Eight again? And how does his world change as that goes on? But ultimately, I did feel that pressure, but in the end, I think it was more the time pressure to have this book out for Christmas, because from the beginning, I started working in May 23.
Yeah.
We were talking about this Christmas to be released. And as you know, with books, there's quite a lot of lag time that is required by the publisher after you've finished.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can finish in October and they're going to have it on the shelves in November. And I think a lot of people think that's maybe the case. They just go print and it's off the shelf. You know, and there's so much work that goes into it. So that was a big pressure, because I think everybody felt this is a Christmas book. It's going to be funny. It's got hope. Although at times conflictual, it's ultimately going to hopefully raise the spirits of South Africans. And we've all been through, particularly in Natal, been through quite a tough time in the last few years. You know, we had floods, we've had riots, we've had, you know, a lot of setbacks. And I just felt during COVID, when the idea first came, it would be nice to just bring that back, but I always knew I had to crack it.
As someone who has wrapped at least 5,000 copies of Spud and for Christmas trees, it feels like every Christmas should have a copy of a Spud under the tree for someone, right?
I would love that. And thank you for wrapping all those books.
Back in the day. The one thing that I didn't realize until I read this particular book was that the first series of Spud actually did a lot of work around looking at what was going on in the country and kind of weaving it in to the story and the kind of the tensions that were happening at the time and integration. You've done that as well here, and I found that completely fascinating. Did you do research, or did you just kind of rest on your memory, you know, to kind of create that?
A bit of both. Yeah. I wrote down what my memory was, but you've got to be very careful that you're not like using a phrase or a reference from 2005 when you're setting a book in 2003 when you're writing it in 2023, 2024. Yeah. So it was, I did do a lot of research for like what was the slang of the time, just to remind me what, like, way out and, you know, like hectic, extreme, you know, the words that now sometimes people use, but they actually were back then. And like LOL, yes, you know, like kind of that was. Yeah, and obviously it was the beginning of the not the smartphone, it was pre-smartphone, but we had our little Nokias. Yes. I don't know if you remember like our little Nokia 3310s and things. And that helped me a lot because now you can't WhatsApp, but you can text and phone, right? And it's a very different thing to us now where we WhatsApp and we're WhatsApp groups, and you don't always phone people all the time, right? And so just getting into those things. And also, I think in the country, I would call it almost the Mbeki glow, where we all felt like, gee, the country's doing well. The economy was doing well. There wasn't, certainly the ANC had the following of the people and was largely trusted. Mm. They were trusted to be doing the best for the people. Mm. And all those things were almost taken for granted.
Absolutely.
We hadn't started almost fighting and being, the angry voices hadn't emerged yet. And suddenly, I think maybe towards 2009, that all the country shifted again. Mm. But there was this sort of glowing, Madiba was still alive. It was still, the dream was still alive. You know what I mean? In some ways.
And as I was reading it, I mean, Spud obviously comes back, but Spud is nothing without the rest of the Crazy Eight, right? And I just realized how well developed those characters were. I haven't read about them for 10 years or so, and I immediately remembered who they were. Yes. Was it challenging to revisit each of them and reimagine them a decade on?
Not too much, because I planned what I was going to do. I actually enjoyed it a lot. I enjoyed getting back into their skins, like as an actor much, you know, playing them, exploring them, because, you know, the lovely thing with writing is that you can push things too far and then pull them back in the next drafts. Mm. So it allows me to have a full crack, not be scared, you know, comedically, which is really important, because I feel if you're tentative comedically, yes, you might get a giggle response, but you don't get that big humorous response, which is an important part of Spud, and also why I think quite a few, what I say, are non-usual readers read it. You know what I mean? It can reach like teenage boys and people who don't really read books.
I've always been like so surprised by the range of people who just relate to Spud, but I guess we're all a little insecure and in grade 8 or standard 7 eternally in our minds, right?
I think it's that, and I just think the books open up a sort of door to nostalgia for your history. Anybody's upbringing, their school, the teachers, their people who are at school, and it doesn't even have to be about the books so much. It just takes them back to a simpler time in many ways.
And the book inspired a movie back in the day. John Cleese came and graced us. It launched, I guess, the film career of Troye Sivan, is now a huge international star as well.
Incredible.
Did you feel pressure to kind of write a book that could translate into a movie or a series on one of these streamers?
I tell you what, I didn't feel that pressure, because I think there was enough pressure on my shoulders as it was. But I tell you what, one thing you'll notice that is different to the Spud novel, obviously, because the format is different, because it's not a year in the life of Spud. It's heading to this, it's really 80% of the book is one weekend. And obviously the start of the book is the build to that. But ultimately, when it comes to film, this book is written in a classic three-act structure, whereas all the other Spuds weren't. So it's actually going to be easier for someone who's writing the screenplay to draw the screenplay out of this one, because of the way it's plotted, rather than the meandering diary that we had before. And so it gives it a different feel to the book, but I think it's going to lend itself to that movie structure even better.
Well, we all know that the book is always better than the film. So you go out and get a copy of this. I thought you did a great job of ticking the nostalgia box, but giving us something new. Spud the Reunion by John van der Rijt was published by Pan Macmillan, and it retails for 360 Rand. FMR.